Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You may be seated, please. Hallelujah. It's wonderful to be in Bristol again. I do miss you as a mother. And I pray tonight that we are all going to feed under the feet of Jesus. Amen. Until we want no more. Amen. Once again, I want to say a very big thank you to Pastor Benson. And to Deaconess Benson. Do you know what? If you are not here to do the work of ministry, there is no way we can be here tonight. But we have come to confirm the word of God, as the Bible says, as iron sharpened iron. So we ought to sharpen one another. And I'm here to sharpen you. I'm here to let you know that what Pastor Benson and the wife and the whole congregation, what you are all doing is great. Why not put your hands together for the Lord? You are doing a great job, or a great work, like Jeremiah says, and you cannot come down. Amen. There are Tobiases and all these Chamberlains and all the rest that we want to distract you as you do the work. Sometimes it might come in form of pain and in many other ways, but I tell you, the grace of God is sufficient for you. Amen. If the Lord supported us and has helped us to this point, I tell you, greater things are yet to be seen in Bristol.
Amen.
I cannot wait for you to get your own property. Mm-hmm. And we come to celebrate and join you to worship.
Amen.
I cannot thank God enough for other things that eyes have not seen, the souls that are coming to join you.
Amen.
When Christ's Faith Tabernacle started, we are but few in a number, but today Christ's Faith Tabernacle is everywhere.
Amen.
Today I can come to Bristol, and I'm seeing my children in Bristol.
Yeah.
Today I can see my family in Bristol.
Yeah.
I can go to Nigeria. I can go anywhere. Then this is Christ's Faith Tabernacle.
Yeah.
Same will happen to you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Many will come and feed under this umbrella like never before.
Yeah.
Without wasting time tonight, I just want to quickly go to the theme of the Women of Royal Destiny's conference. The Women of Royal Destiny is a group that God has allowed me to be the president. And I've started through me when the Lord gave me the desire now to begin to speak to women, because it seems from the time of the Bible or creation, women has always been neglected. And we see ourselves as nobody. But thank God for Jesus. When Jesus came, we have that grace as women to socialize, to join the church, to do great work. An example of this great woman of God is the woman of Samaria, is Deborah, and many other women in the Bible, many that represented God in positive way. And today, instead of us sitting down, looking at our women problems, God has raised me as a giant for this purpose, especially for Christ's Faith Tabernacle and for the world at large. And I will not fail him.
Amen.
If I do not fail him, then many women in this church will not fail Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God has called us to do the work. We cannot sit down and have excuses. Can sit down, my husband, oh, my boyfriend, I thought he's going to marry me. All these are women problems. The pain that women go through, because of that, we are distracted. We cannot do the work of ministry. But I have a good news for you. All those things are second hand. God has died on the cross of Calvary. And he said, it is finished. Oh, this sickness, this, that. Because of that, we cannot do the work of ministry. That is no more again.
Amen.
We all join together, put our hands together, and do the work of ministry. Until he comes to take us home. When I took the bold step to support the work of ministry, I tell you, God started surprising me. Even though some of you might have not known my testimony, I've been born again since 1969. I've seen the ups and downs of churches. Hardly did I know that God has called me to continue, you know, but by the grace of God upon the man of God, he met me on this faithful day, evening, Saturday, 46 years ago. When I was on the verge of thinking, should I continue because there is too much pain? In those days, we go crazy for the Lord, I tell you. No earrings, nothing whatsoever. But I tell you, it's very good because nothing is distracting us. We are so focused. And I was thinking, because my mom wants me to get out of this group, and everybody wants me to get out because I'm the only one that God has brought as the star and the light in my family. And by the grace of God upon my life, I decided to say, okay, I don't want any more. Because I have a lot of challenges. But the Lord sent the man of God to my life. And he said to me, I want you to be my wife on that fateful day. Some of you have heard my testimony. If you are going to, just a young lady, I'm not thinking of marriage, I'm nothing else, I want you to be my wife. And if you are going to be my wife, You have to clap your hands for Jesus. You shout hallelujah and you praise the Lord. I thought in a party you should be talking romance. But in a party, the only romance that was spoken to me is a romance about Jesus. You know, and I'm still praising. I'm still clapping. And I'm still singing hallelujah. And that's the reason why the grace of God is enough for me to be able to support even the work of ministry. Since we started 29 years ago, next year we're going to be 30. The whole Bristol will be coming to London. We are going to celebrate in style. Amen. Hallelujah. So every year we have the Women of Right Destiny. Maybe by Sunday, some of you that are going to be here, we are going to read about brief on how the Women of Right Destiny started, what has been happening in this group, God, what God has used me for these years that we have been together. This year we are celebrating 26 years, right? So we are going to talk a brief about that. But in this convention, and every year, God always gives me a theme of what is happening, maybe around the church, or what God actually wants me, the instruction God wants me to give to the women. If we are not very careful in this body of Christ that we are in today, there are many things that can distract us. So God has not only called me for myself or for the church, but he's called, or for women like my kind, but he's called me for children. I have passion for children because if we catch them young, Jesus was taken at his younger age. Hardly did he know he's going to live for 33 years. So when we catch them young, then we can reflect Jesus to them and they can carry the banner and be doing the work of ministry. And these are my passion, to raise more children, because I was raised as a young teenage girl. And today, look at what God is doing through me. So to raise more teenagers, because teenagers too, these are the group that are really being distracted in the body of Christ today. If boyfriend did not carry them away, friends with peer pressure and all the rest of that, we make them to be far away. So every year, we look at a woman character or a lady's character, and we look at the Bible just to help ourselves as we worship God. Amen. People used to think church is just church boring. No, church is no longer boring. It's a place where we learn about Jesus. Yes, a place where people reflect God and people's lives are changed. Amen. So this year, God has given to me the theme, the portrait of an ambitious woman. Every year when God will give me a theme, I always look around the corners of the church, and all what I see in the church is what God always gives to me too. And I look at the word of God, you see it in the Bible as well. So through the word of God, I mix it together, I'll be able to bring you. You will see everything I'm going to teach you for this period that we are here for this weekend, they are all in the Bible. When you look at the word portrait, what does the word portrait mean? It means picture. The word portrait means photograph, the photograph of an ambitious woman. The word portrait, the sketch of an ambitious woman. The likeness, the image, the representation of an ambitious woman, the look of an ambitious woman, of a person. We can also look at it as a style or lifestyle. The artistic representation of an ambitious person with intent to display the likeness, the personality, the mood of a person. Or in another word, we can put it this way for those of you that are artistic in mind and in your hands and in drawings. A painting. A drawing. How do you draw an ambitious woman? If I ask you, if I give you paper now to draw an ambitious man, some will draw women with one hair on their head. Sometimes as an ambitious man, they are always on the move. Some are confused. Some will draw crazy women that are doing crazy things. So when we talk about the picture of an ambitious man, look at the painting, the drawing, the photograph, or the engraving of a person, of an ambitious woman. Don't get me wrong, when the Lord gave me that big word, ambitious, I was like, to be ambitious is a nice thing. If we have to start like a quiz now, I tell you, just talk about ambition. A lot of people will contribute. And I know that Holy Ghost has prepared me to answer the question, if you have such question. But to be ambitious is nice. To be ambitious is a good thing. Yes, it is. And that leads me to make us to understand that we have both positively ambitious women and negatively ambitious one. So when you are positively ambitious, then it's good. But when you are negatively ambitious, then it's bad. After this message, if you have seen where you, the picture of your life, where you have, where you belong, then you'll be able to put things right. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Positive ambition comes from God, while negative ambition comes from man. People that are negatively ambitious, they are so selfish. They always think about me, 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 me. They look at the flesh instead of the spirit. But people that are positively ambitious are people full of the spirit, people that can motivate people, people that can move on things and everything. Therefore, you will agree with me that to take, you know, like to take a good picture of an ambitious woman, you need full light. Those of you that are into photography, you'll understand with me. To take the picture, because we say the picture, the portrait of an ambitious woman. To take the portrait of an ambitious woman, you need a full light. If there is no light, the picture is going to be blurred or something like that. So to take the picture of a positively ambitious woman, you need the light of God, which is Jesus. A positively ambitious woman is a woman of the Spirit. Without Jesus, the light of God, you will do it wrongly. You can never do it right. Therefore, we need Jesus, the light of the world, to help us reveal our portrait and make it to be the best as we reflect Him on a daily basis. Amen.
Amen.
We are going to look at examples. Because I'm going to be very brief because it's after 8. So that we can all go to bed. We can come back tomorrow again healthy and be thinking about this and where we belong, how we are going to make change and all the rest of that. We're going to look at the positive side of an ambitious woman. Hallelujah. I wrote here from one of the authors. He said, when ambition is channeled correctly, it can bring great reward or result. When you're ambitious and it's channeled correctly, it brings great reward or bring great result. On the average, research has proved that ambitious people attain higher level of education. Number one, you can write it down. They're not lazy for nothing. They just want to make it at all times with good mind. They attain higher level of income. They build more prestigious careers and report higher overall level of life satisfaction, says Neil Burton. Hallelujah. May God give us greater understanding as I begin to show us. Note, many of man's greatest achievements are the products or accidents of the ambition. The key is to pursue healthy ambition. People with a high degree of healthy ambition are those with insight and strength to control the blind forces of ambition, shaping it so that it matches their interests and ideas, says Sam Neil Burton. They harness it so that it fires them without also burning them or those around them. How do positively ambitious people, because when I do my conference, I know it's a women conference, but the Bible said both male and female, the Lord created us. So how do positively ambitious man or woman pursue their healthy ambition? You know, I've said when you are positively ambitious, you will pursue a healthy ambition. But when you are negatively, you mess it around. Number one, they set goals, but they do not share it. Positively ambitious man or woman set goals, but they do not share them. Ambitious people are goal-oriented and always striving towards the next accomplishment. But healthy ambition involves keeping your goals private to yourselves, says entrepreneur Derek Sivers. When someone is ambitious, positively, sometimes they keep their goals to themselves so that they don't share their dreams. They want to make it so that nobody will. You understand what I'm saying? Psychologists have found that telling someone your goals make it less likely to happen. But this man, Siva, explained that what he means. He said, anytime you have a goal, there are some steps that needs to be taken or some work that needs to be done in order to achieve it. That is your goal. You will not be satisfied until you have done the work. For positively ambitious people, they just want to make sure that they are satisfied and they fulfill their goals. When you tell someone your goal and they acknowledge it, psychologists said it is called a social reality, which makes you think that it is already done. And because you felt that it is already done, you feel that satisfaction. You are less motivated to do the actual hard work necessary, says Derek Siva. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Positively ambitious. How do positively ambitious people pursue healthy ambition? Number one, they set goals, but they do not share them. Number two, they are willing to take risks. Positively ambitious people, both male and female, they are willing to take risks. Ambition takes a willingness to take risks, but stepping into fear and anxiety. Ambitious people act with purpose, but allow themselves room to explore, room to experiment and discover. You can see this in the Bible. As if time permits, I'll be showing you people that are positively ambitious from Genesis to Revelation. You can write this down against that for now until we get to it. You can look at Exodus chapters 1 and 2 about Jochebed, the mother of Jesus, and Miriam, who risked their lives.
Moses.
Moses. Yes, Jochebed, Miriam, who risked their life for their baby brother, Moses, yes. Jochebed and Miriam risked their lives for their baby brother to be saved from Pharaoh's sword when it was announced that every male child be killed while they were in Egypt. Positively ambitious people, they try to get the best. They are willing to risk their life. Look at how Miriam risked her life in that Nile with crocodiles. They risked the life of their baby brother, knowing fully well that Pharaoh family would come and swim around that side. They would discover this baby. Look at the terror that she went through. That is Jochebed, the mother of Moses. The terror she went through when they were killing all the other boys and they are crying. You can imagine a woman that has just given birth. The way she risked her life to protect that child. They must have knocked the door. Moses must have been crying. But she said, no, I'm going to still keep this baby safe. In the midst of this terrible situation, she made a baby basket. Today we are all talking baby basket. We put all our babies in baby basket. Positively ambitious person. They want to meet a target. They want to risk their life to get to where they want to get to. Positively ambitious people expose themselves to new ways of things. Number three, ambitious people break away from consistent group thinking and expose themselves to new ways of thinking. They talk and learn from different people. They are open to dialogue with acquaintances and select those that are strange to them as they uncover interesting opportunities. You get an ambitious person at work. He wants to feel a goal. He will learn from everybody. Such people will learn from everybody until they fulfill their goals. In one word, they are goal-getters. Burton says, ambition makes people resourceful. It forces us to grow, often in an unexpected ways. When you work with people that are positively ambitious, they will learn from you, they will learn skills, they will listen, they put what they have in mind to fulfill that goal, to fulfill their own goal, they learn it with yours until they get to that, to where they want to get to. Number four, ambitious people are focused on execution. When an ambitious person walks under you, as you're instructing them, they're doing it. They will make sure that they execute what you are saying. By the time you know it, they are perfect in that thing that you are teaching them to do. They are wise in executing a strategy for any given opportunity or any given type of important vision or outcome you want to achieve. Ambitious people put the main emphasis on pulling the trigger. They are ready on your mark, set. They just want to go. They want to do the right thing at the right time. They are obedient to the call and follow their mentor's instruction. An example of this person that we might be talking about later is Ruth and Naomi. She learned under her mother-in-law, though a widow. Both of them are widows. But she forgot about her past. She said to Ruth and to Naomi, "Your God will be my God. I'll follow you to the end." The other one, Oprah, could not go because she was not ambitious. And you can see she was learning under the instruction of her mother-in-law. So submissive. They get things done easily. That is Ruth for you. Every instruction that Naomi gave to Ruth, she carried out. How do we use that to affect our lives in the Church of God today? If you are positively ambitious, you will listen to everything that is being spoken from this pulpit. You listen to the man of God, you just want to carry the other out. Why is it talking like I hate it, I said, no, you don't argue. Believe in God, believe in his prophet, then you prosper. You'll be established, then you will prosper. People that prosper in the church, they are the positively ambitious people. That's why we have to teach the church about ambition. People that are negatively ambitious, they never prosper. They just, since playing that piano, I can play more than, I can play, maybe just, bum, 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 bum. That's what he plays. Who say that? What's it? What piano? Singing? I have a good voice. I can sing like a bird. But when you give them the microphone, they'll be shaking from head to negative ambition. They just want to discourage people. They walk in the midst of scoffers, Psalm 1, so they never prosper. Ruth and Naomi, positively ambitious people, they get things done easily. If execution is poor, nothing matters. They can change any situation for life. Mordecai and Esther. So I got a good example of a positively ambitious people. Esther listened to the uncle, and she did great during the time of the reign of herself. Said everything that she was instructed for that 12 months that she has to go through that pedicure, manicure treatment, perfume yourself, and all the rest of that. She listened. Because she's a young girl that was learning under great instruction from an uncle. She said, "Come talk to me. Give me the key to the house. I come back at my own time." No, Esther did not do that. The Church of God today, because of peer pressure, people are living their life the way they ought to live. But thank God for people that are raised in Christ's tabernacle. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Where we are doing a great job, we cannot come down. Hallelujah. Positively ambitious people, number five, they do not compete with other people. They don't compete. If you know something, they don't compete with you. They just want to know better. They want to learn under your instruction to be able to acquire more knowledge. They stretch themselves to achieve whatever they set their minds to do. Positively ambitious people, they are hardworking with focus and passion in whatever they do. They avoid comparing themselves with others and measure success only against what they are capable of doing or achieving. And they are encouragers. I said all these things are in the Bible. Time permits, we'll be touching all these people. Priscilla and Aquila in the book of Acts chapter 18. They're positively ambitious people. Hallelujah. They raise people around them. Number six, they surround themselves with other ambitious people. They don't sit in the seat of scoffers, nor in the way of walk in the way of sinners. Their delight is always in the law of the Lord. And in his law, they meditate day and night. The Bible said they will be. Therefore, they are like that tree that is planted by the rivers of waters. Holy Ghost, they are full of Holy Ghost and they are manifesting God on a regular basis. Call them at the prayer meeting, they lead the good prayers. Holy Ghost type of prayer, that's what they are leading. They don't lead the Pharisees type of prayers. They lead the publican kind of prayers, ambitious, positively ambitious. They say, you see me, God, I pay my tithe, I pay my everything. I don't know about that one. No, they don't lead such prayer. They lead Holy Ghost, build, establish prayers. Ascribe greatness to your God. Ascribe glory, ascribe power. Mightier than the mighty thunder that you can. They know how to praise, they know how to worship. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Positively ambitious people. They can't joke with microphone. They go straight to the point. They don't want to please people. They surround themselves with other ambitious people. They join over intercessors. They join the choir. They join people that are successful. If you are an architect and they know the architect, even if they know more than you, they humble themselves to learn from your own skill. Their network is superb. They network with clusters of successful people to add to their skills. I've just explained to you. By applying the power of proximity, they find role models, befriend and learn from mentors. They are not Mr. Know-it-all. I pray that after this meeting, we shall be positively ambitious.
Amen.
They are not envious of anybody. Make good friends with people smarter and more successful in the field they are interested in. They are not proud. They are people that make it easier for people that work with them to produce or do good or meaningful work. They make work easy. If they are leaders, they don't just boss people, no. They follow that Jesus' leadership. The pyramid is upside down. They serve. We have a lot of them in this house. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There are people that make it easy for people that work with them to produce or do good or meaningful work. Those who work closely with them speak positively of their ambition. They speak positively of their diligence and their inquisitive nature. That is, their eager to know attitude. They just want to know. Even if they know already, they want to know. Even if you know how to play the piano, you know how to play the guitar. They pretend as if they don't know. But when you give them the opportunity to be there, when they now they play music for you. Then you'll be shaking your, she also among the choir. We'll get there.
Amen.
They add to their effort as they join their workforce in achieving their goals. They have an eager mindset to know. They want to know. Even if they are the boss, they just want to know. Oh, they know what you're doing, but when they discover a skill in you, okay, you can go on. They leave you to do the work, and if there is any mistake, then they can come. Okay, you can do it this way. They won't say, you made a mistake. They know how to correct you to put you in the right place. You love to work with such people. You want to come near them all the time. That is what God has, that is the reason why God has given us this topic. So that we will be positively ambitious. We will not be negatively ambitious. Envy people that are doing the work. What is he doing? They become the Chamberlain and the Tobiases. When Nehemiah was building the wall, they said even foxes, when foxes jump on this wall, they will break the wall down. Is it true? You're envious of Nehemiah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I quickly give you an example from the scripture. An ambitious woman is a woman of faith with a remarkable intelligence and confidence. That's an ambitious woman. They believe so much in God. They believe that faith is so strong that when you are saying that this is not going to be, they tell you it's going to be by the name of Jesus. They know how to apply the name of Jesus. They know how to carry people along. In their determination as or her determination as an ambitious woman, they always like to help or assist others to be an achiever or to save them. They don't want to know it all. They believe in multiplying themselves everywhere so that when you know it, I know it, then the work is made easy. Not I know it and everybody is looking at me. Give you an example of Moses, Miriam, Moses' sister, Miriam's mother, and some other people that I've called in the Bible. Ambitious for nothing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's quickly go and look at the scriptures. Ambitious people are negative-minded people. Matthew chapter 20. I believe we are being blessed.
Yes, ma'am.
By the time we leave this place, our lives will not remain the same.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 20. We are looking at the life of an ambitious woman and her two sons. These are people in the church, in Jesus' church. The church was going on. Things were going better. Everybody is happy. People are giving birth. People are getting married. Things are happening. And it got to that point where Jesus had to go through a period in his life. In this period, while he has to leave the disciples, it's so painful. A period where he's now thinking, because he could see what he's about to go through. And he said, look, let me prepare these people so that when I go through, they will be able to do the work. The work will not die. This is Jesus. And that was all about Jesus' mind. Started teaching the disciples, maybe shortly I might be leaving you. And if I leave you, these are the things that you have to do. They didn't even understand. They are looking at their leader that if this leader leaves us now, this Roman Empire will now come and kill us. He's the only one that is bold, that can speak. He's the only one that can speak on our behalf. When he leaves us now, he's going to be speaking. Who's going to be helping us? So Jesus was going through a terrible period of his life. But his disciples were thinking about position. Now, sometimes in the leadership, your leaders can be talking. Maybe as the church starts to increase and you are thinking of how to raise leadership, maybe as confided in some people and said, look, as the church is growing now, I'm going to be raising deaconesses, I'm going to be raising deacons, elders, and all these people. And the man is looking at the world so that the work can continue. But you know that there are some that are not thinking what the leader is thinking. They are thinking of position. Ah, he is going to, they are going to ordain any deacon. I will be the deacon. I'm going to ordain a name. Dickiness. I'm going to be the Dickiness. I always cook, I always surround, I always, you know, they start to give themselves position. This was what Jesus was going for. But the leader is having that pain. Who will do this work like Apostle Williams? I'm trying to look at Apostle Williams because I'm talking to branch churches. Amen. I'm looking at Apostle Williams. I'm praying Apostle. Sometimes Apostle, thank God that he's here. We honor him. Amen. He goes the extra mile. Sometimes you think maybe you are we are wonderfully and beautifully made. But I think the structure, maybe the way God made him is there. I don't know. But is the same, isn't it? God takes you extra mile. You have to be in prayer meeting this morning. You have to be in the evening. You have to be in the afternoon. You have to... May God help us, we get there. Amen. People might want that grace upon the life of an apostle, but in another way, they are negatively ambitious. They just want to learn it so that they can leave the church and go and start their own jumbo church. You don't have such people here. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And during this time, Jesus was talking, predicting his death. He sat them down and said, the man of God will soon do this, will soon do that. They didn't understand. So this was the third time. Because of time, I can't refer. I would have taken you through the first, the second, and the third time. On the third time, let's look at what Matthew wrote, because these are the disciples at that time. He says, Matthew chapter 20 from verse 17. Now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. On the way, he took the 12 aside and said to them, we were there in Jerusalem. We saw what Jesus went through. It's not easy. You are sliding and sliding down, falling and getting up. When you go, even though they put cement and everything, then it was not like that. It was rugged. The roads were rugged. And these are the roads that Jesus went through. Even they took us through where, when it was all the points where he had to stop and thinking about this load that is so heavy. But during this time, the disciples were still with him. He said, now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. And on the way, he took the 12 aside and said to them, we are going up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. You could see it. He didn't call the whole church. He called those in the leadership, the 12. He said, when we get there, this is what's going to happen to me because he has seen it ahead. The Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked. Underline your scriptures. They hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked, one, and flogged, two, and crucified. These are the work of the cross. You'll be mocked, flogged, and crucified by negatively ambitious people. On the third day, he will be raised to life. So if this is going to happen to Jesus, they are confused, they don't even know. Jesus will predict his death and his resurrection. He was telling them, he'll be handed over to the Gentiles who are going to make decisions about his life for not sinning, for no problem. He will be mocked. He will be flogged and he will be crucified. There are some of us that are going through this today. But if Jesus overcame, we will overcome in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Then as he was talking to them, one of the four followers, like our followers today, then the mother of Zebedee's sons, when you look at the book of Matthew 27 or 26, one of these 27:56. It talks about this the mother of Zebedee's son. Her name is Salome. One of the church members. Then the mother of Zebedee's son came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down. Negatively ambitious woman. She false humility. We have a lot of people with that in the church. I know God said you have said it. But inside there is serious bitterness. She knelt down before Jesus so that Jesus would take her seriously. And what did she come to do? She asked a favor of him. Many today, they have negative ambition. They come, kneel down before the pastor, behave, they be the one to even do the best work in the church. Such people are not here tonight. They are not here tonight. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said he knelt down because he wanted to ask Jesus for a favor. She demonstrated an attitude which looked to be good but bad, or false attitude. But her real motive is different. Her real motive at that time was different. So she knelt down. False humility. Jesus saw her and said, "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "That you might grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." Hallelujah. One's leadership position. So that when Jesus, you know, Jesus has already promised us this position in heaven. Said we are seated with him in heavenly places, far above principalities, far above power. We can control, we can do, you know, as long as you are submitted to Jesus. Amen. As long as you are not negatively ambitious. We have this power already. But she came and said that these are part of Jesus' disciples that are her son. So she quickly came to do obeisance first so that they can put them in position. The other people that are still confused. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right," because Jesus is not going to leave them. He's going to be in a very big kingdom. He has been preparing them. So when Jesus leaves, so if they are sitting on the right and the left of Jesus before Jesus departs, then they will be seen in the leadership of Jesus. But it was proved when Jesus left. Some of them denied. May we not deny him, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Jesus answered. And this shows us that sometimes we might want ourselves or our children, if we had the opportunity to be close to the man of God or the pastor or the leader of the church, we want a lot of, like in our church in London, I just thinking, God, as I told you, God has given heart for the younger ones. We catch them young. So they are playing piano now. They are playing saxophone. When you look at us on the video, you see younger ones. They are also doing their own business there. Someone can now come and tell me, or maybe tell apostle, or tell one of the, "Can't you up to the choir master? Can you not allow my son to come and play piano, play?" But they are not putting any input in that child. They just want show so that they can show them with Apostle Williams when Apostle is teaching. May that not be our portion.
Amen.
But people are selling here. And my son can sing. He can only, because I've been seen on the internet, some people are singing. He can also sing. They put my, and your own song, your child, and we come and mess up the whole place. Other people have been singing since. When they now brought your own, that you're ambitious for, they come and mess it up. May that not be us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
They not only mess you up, they mess the church up. They mess the leader up. They mess everybody. So Jesus replied. What was Jesus' reply? She said, "Grant that no one else of these two sons yet." Then Jesus, "You don't know what you are asking for." Jesus said to them, "Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink?" To sit on the right or on the left of Jesus is not easy. Some die for it. Some were sent to the island of Patmos in a lonely place that only Jesus had to go and appear to them there. Sitting on the left, on the right of Jesus is not easy. We'll be persecuted. You heard that because of persecution, I have to leave the group that I belong to because there's too much persecution. I was asked not to attend class for almost a year because I'm in the Scripture Union. A lot of problems. So I decided to leave. To sit on the right or on the left of Jesus is not very easy. To be in the leadership of a church is not very easy. To be the senior pastor of a church is not very easy. To be the mother of the church is not very easy. Ambition cannot take you there. Positive, you are positively ambitious, and I've told you the traces. You are ready to humble yourself. You are a go-getter. You are ready to learn. You are ready to serve. You are ready to let the word that comes out of your mouth be seasoned with salt. You are ready to demonstrate Jesus. Then that position is for you. But if you are positively ambitious, you cannot get there. You will scatter the whole place. You will be the one that will tell, what did the apostle, or what did the Pastor Benson tell you? Did he say you should come to choir practice tomorrow? Me, I have a meeting tomorrow. I can be there. To sit with you, someone has asked me before. A pastor's wife said, you know, the grace upon my life to this pastor. I don't know, it's a 24-hour job, my dear. Pastor's wife, I want to be a pastor's wife. Don't just see pastor's wife when they call them. We give you this gift. Glory be to God. And you are collecting gift. It is more than that. That position is not for anybody that just wants to be collecting gift, you know. Are you listening to me? It's more than that. I want to be a pastor's wife. Before you know it, that's the young pastor. I want to be a pastor's wife. Because you are negatively ambitious. You're only thinking of people that you know and people that are coming here. It's more than that. Even those people can kill you if you are not very careful. So Jesus said, it is not that position. You cannot drink from the cup. You cannot be with me when I'm on that cross. Can you receive that name that they're going to use to nail me on the cross? It's not that position. I don't think you will be able to drink from that same cup. We can't, they answered. In this time, they're expecting Jesus' new kingdom as it's going to come. So that they will sit on the right and left of Jesus. But Jesus said, you can't. But they said, we can. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. It's only Jesus that can take you there. It's only Jesus that can set you apart for the nation. It's only Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. It's only Jesus that can put you in the man of God's heart to be ordained. That's why people ordain just anybody now. Before you know it, they become something else. When they have not prayed, when Jesus was going to ordain his disciples, what did he do? He find time to go separately to pray. Even among those that were prayed for separately, there was a Judas. Positively, a negatively ambitious man. You can see it in Jesus' life throughout. But because of the work that Judas was called to do, he has to be called so that the work can be done. When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Why should they be doing this thing like this? We are 12. How can just one person call the two children? So they have all their own kind of mind. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Jesus could see their heart. And their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. I said to you, the pyramid is upside down. You want to be a pastor? You must be ready to serve. You want to be an elder? You must be ready to serve. You cannot bring your pride into the church. No, it's not. It doesn't happen like that. You can't just call them, you carry my bag. No. It takes grace for people to carry your bag. They would have seen you carry other people's bag. Or they would have seen you reverence. You cannot just instruct anyhow. It's only the Father that sees the heart that can put you in that position. Say, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And their high officials exercise authority over them. In the church, you don't do that. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be the first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I rest my case here. Jesus demonstrated this among his disciples. He washed their feet. May the Lord grant us humility. Amen. In everything that we do.
Amen.
And give us his own mind, his own heart. I was teaching from the book of Jeremiah chapter 17. Said that the 16, say 16 or 17 said, the heart of man is deceitful. I don't want to start in that 17. It talks about the hard heart, where bad inscription have been written. Ezekiel talks about good heart. He said God gives us the heart of flesh. But sometimes we want the heart of stone, where they can be inscribed rebellion, deception, bad thing, because his stone is hard. So those inscriptions are able to get there. But when you have a soft heart, the thing cannot even hold. You can't use it to write on it. May God give us a good heart tonight.
Amen.
So that in everything that we do, we'll be positively ambitious and not negatively ambitious.
Amen.